Here's what Paul said. He said, "For we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles." It's in 1 Corinthians 1. So for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. He said, "May I never boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. Through it, the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." It's in Galatians 6. Do you know what lies at the center of Christianity? It is the blood and the death of Jesus Christ. In Christianity, the creator of the universe became a man and gave his life for you. That is unfathomable. You can't understand it. Try to understand the depths of the love of God in the cross, and you will fail. You'll never fully understand the love of God that He demonstrated at the cross. But while you won't understand the depths of it, you will see it. And you will see how unfathomable it is. But those who are not God's people, do you know what they say about the cross? They say what Paul said. It's foolishness. That's what Paul said they said. That's what the Greeks, they consider it foolishness. They stumble over it. They say, never, God would never do that. Really? How do you know God would never do that? And so they miss the love of God because they miss the cross. And they stumble over the love of God. They don't see how marvelous the cross is. It's just wondrous. It's beautiful. The cross is precisely the sort of religion that no man would ever invent. And if you don't have the cross and grace, which Christianity is based on the cross and grace, if you don't have that, you have to replace it with something. And here's what people usually replace the cross with in their lives. They replace it with you. Themselves. Whether it's secular America saying, "You be you," or "You decide your own values," or whether it's China where you pursue your degree and money and a good job so you can have a nice life for yourself. That's really what's going on in China. Or whether it's most religions where you keep the rules. It's your efforts and your works that matter. It's still about you. It's not God that's done it. It's you who have to do it. No matter what system you have, if you don't have the cross that's doing the work, and if you don't have grace, you're left with you. And it's really empty. Now, we talked last week about the centrality of the cross and Jesus saying, you know, he began to teach his disciples back in chapter 16, verse 21. He began to teach his disciples that he was going to have to go to Jerusalem and be handed over to the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. He's starting to talk very openly about his coming death and resurrection to his disciples. And then he said, "You do the same. And this is what Jesus came for. We talked about this last week. He came to die. He did not come just to teach. He's not just giving us information. He's actually solving the problem, the central problem of the universe, sin. And he's doing it in a real way, not just teaching us how to do it ourselves. He's doing it himself. It's a difference between Christianity and every other religion. And because he came to die, and because he calls us to follow him, we then die. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 28. I'm going to read them again. I covered this last week, but we're going to talk more about it today. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but forfeits his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the Father's glory, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, we talked a lot about this text last week, but there's so much more to cover. So we're going to spend some more time on it. I want you to look at the verses for a moment. Jesus says, verse 24. Look at verse 24. "Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And follow him." You should see that there. Now look at verse 25. "Lose your life for his sake." We talked about this last week, and what does it entail? I will tell you what it does not entail. It does not entail you. When you deny yourself, you have to let go of you. When you take up your cross, you have to die to you. When you lose your life for him, in a sense, you are losing you. But that's where real life comes from. See, if you want real life, you have to let go of you. You have to die to what you want. You die to your comfort, you die to your security, you die to your pleasure, and you live trusting Jesus. You live for him. This concept is central to the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of not I, but Christ. That's what the Christian life is about. And so, in that sense, the cross is not just for Jesus. It's for you and me, too. Now, these are all truths we discussed last week, but there's some things I want to talk about them. And so, we're going to do that this week as well. First, last week, we said, this is really hard. not like you needed me to tell you that. You know, once I describe what it is, you know it's really hard. The Christian life is really hard. That's something you just gotta understand. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. I tell everybody that if you want a challenge, become a Christian. It'll be the hardest thing you ever do. But it's worth it. It'll be the best thing you ever do as well. And so, because it's so hard, the key to this is not that you do it perfectly. You're not gonna do it perfectly. The key is not that you're perfect in dying to yourself, but that you're on that path. You're at least saying, I'm committed to this, even when I fail. I've shared this story before with some of you. This was when I was a single. God was calling me. I really liked music. And I had this big record collection. This is back in the days when they had records, pre-digital. God was saying, your music is like a god to you. They can't be your god. You don't live your life for music. And God was calling me to basically get rid of all my records. That's how God works, by the way. He actually gets at our souls through things like records. And he was calling me to do this, and I didn't want to do it. And one night, I was at home, I was reading a book. The book was by A.W. Tozer. I don't even remember which book it was, nor do I remember where exactly it was, but I remember in general what it was talking about. And Tozer was talking about the necessity to give God everything. And I remember praying to God. I said, God, I give you everything. And God spoke to me. And here's what he said. He said, what do you mean you'll give me everything? You won't even give me your music. And it was like, oh, it was true. I knew it was true. It's like, here I am saying I'm going to give God everything, and I can't even give him some records. And I didn't actually do it at that time. I mean, that came later. There was a process in that giving to him that. That took more time. And so here's the thing about dying to self. You really don't want to do it. There's a part of you that does not want to do it. And yet, in Christ, you do want to do it. And there's this pull inside you to hold on to what you want. But there's also this pull inside you to lose your life for Him. And both of those things are true at the same time inside you. It's like there's this war going on. I need to do this for Christ, but oh, I don't want to because I like this. But I need to do it, but I like it. But I need to do it. And what's more important to you? You or Christ? This is what dying to self gets at. It gets at these battles that are inside us where God calls us to do something that is really hard. And you're going to fall. You really are. There are times where you're not going to do what God wants, at least if you're like me. But you got to get back up. So you want what you want, but you also want to lose your life for Him. Your desires are in conflict. If that describes you, that's a sign that you are at least on the right path. You are at least acknowledging that you need to let go of you. And it's hard, and it's a struggle, and it's difficult. That the struggle is, that the fact that you're struggling with it is a good sign. Because if you didn't struggle with it, you would just do what you wanted and not even think about it. And that's how most of the world operates. They don't even have the struggle. Because they don't see Christ. They can't hear him calling them to let go of their career, perhaps. And so you're going to fall. I'm saying this up front. It's really difficult. Dying to self, denying self, taking up your cross, following Jesus, losing your life for him is really difficult. And there are going to be many times that you fall. When you fall, confess it. Get back up. And ask God for his grace to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus. And you may then fall 100 more times. And if you do, confess it each time and get back up and ask God's grace in your life that you might actually lose your life for him. That's what you do. What you don't do is you don't ever, ever, ever quit. Don't ever quit in the fight to lose your life for Christ. Don't ever quit. You'll be tempted to. You'll be tempted to throw up your hands and say, Lord, this is like the 100th time that I failed in this same area. Confess it, get back up, and say, all right, Lord, let's go. When Jesus calls us to, what he calls us to is really, really hard, but it's right, and it's good. And we got to see that. And you want it, even if in another sense, you don't want it. So that's the first thing I want to say about this business of dying to self. It's really hard. You're going to fail at times. Get back up. It's okay. Commit yourself to the fight. The second thing I want to talk about, it's something I've already alluded to. This business of denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following him will always, always involve some issue in real life. I told you about records for me. That was a real live issue in my life. God will call you to die to something real. Following Jesus is never theoretical. Dying to self isn't a theory. It's going to involve things like money. It's going to involve things like a girl or a guy. It's going to involve things like a career. It's going to involve things like your culture. It's going to involve things like wanting to look good in front of other people, or just there are all kinds of real issues where it involves it. But it's going to be something real. I want you to think of maybe perhaps in Scripture one of the biggest examples of when God called someone to let go of something very dear to him, and that is Abraham sacrificing his son. In that story, that's a story of God calling Abraham to die to himself and to his desires. He had to let go of his son. That's how real it gets. I just want you to see that this business of dying to yourself is going to get that real. So I had to let go of records. I had to let go of, I had to give God my career. That's another story I didn't tell you. I did share with you before the story about I had to give to God the girl I was dating who became my wife and let go of that and be willing to just say, all right, I'm not going to pursue her. Now, God's not going to ask of you exactly the same things he asked of me or of Abraham or of, you know, people are different and your lives are different and God's going to tailor what he calls you to you. It's not going to look exactly like me. But he will call you to die to something, probably many, many things along the life, in the course of your life. I think of the scene in The Chosen. I don't know how familiar you are with The Chosen. It's a TV series about the life of Christ and the disciples. And this scene is in season one. It's when Nicodemus is wrestling with denying himself and taking up his cross and following Jesus. And it's a powerful scene. Jesus had met with Nicodemus at night. You know the story. It's in John chapter 3. And in that encounter, Jesus point blank says to Nicodemus, follow me. Nicodemus realizes this is the Messiah. And he now has opportunity to follow the Messiah. I mean, if you're a Jew, that is you don't get an honor greater than that. The Messiah just asked you, he invited you to follow him. But what that would mean is leaving his life and going into the wilderness and following this preacher who at present really isn't all that well known and actually has a lot of enemies. And then there's another scene afterwards where Nicodemus is talking to his wife. And she says to him, Nico, I love our life. Take me back to Jerusalem. They're in Capernaum at the time. Take me to our family. There's nothing better than the life that we have. She's talking to him like this, and he's got this pull inside of him to what his wife is asking for, the life that they've had. And then there's this pull inside of him to follow the Messiah. And he can't do both simultaneously. If he's going to follow Messiah, he's not going to be able to take his wife back to Jerusalem and let her see the grandkids. And he's not going to be able to do that. And in the scene, he's wrestling with it and he's actually weeping over this because he can't do it. It's the cost of discipleship. So one thing you have to understand about following Jesus is it's expensive. Because Jesus wants your life. So that's the second thing I wanted to say about this business of dying to self, taking up your cross and following him. It will involve a real issue in life. Now, what I wanted to talk about it next is why. Why should we do this? And here we're going to really focus on the text, because Jesus gives us in the text here several reasons why we're to do this. Here's the first reason Jesus gives us. We're to give our lives for him because he gave his life for us. It's verse 21. Look at verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And then we go to verse 24. And then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Guys, we take up our cross because he took up his cross. Jesus was not holding on to his comfort. Jesus was not seeking earthly pleasure. He gave it all up. Jesus denied himself and took up his cross for the glory of God and for you and me. This is radical. I don't know how, if you see just how radical this is. This is in the world around us, whichever culture you're from, whether it's a communist culture, a secular American culture, or a Muslim culture, it doesn't matter. This is radical. The living God of the universe gave himself to make us whole. Why? I can't explain it. He loves us. That's all I can say. He loves us. That's the character of our God. It's the way God is. But if that's how God is, and you and I are to follow God, then that's how we're to be. We're to give our lives for him. See, this business of dying to self and taking up your cross and following him is really just becoming like God in your character. I don't mean you become like God in your essence. That you can't do. God's always God. But God's character, he wants us to reflect his character. And that's part of his character. And he wants that in us. See, one of the reasons Christianity is so hard is that it involves changing your character to be like God's. He doesn't want you to be what you have been. He wants you to be new. He wants you to be something else, something different from what you used to be. He wants you to change. And change is always hard. But that's the way it is. And changing character is no small feat. And so we are to give our lives because he gave his life, and we are to be like him. That's the first reason Jesus gives here for why we are to deny ourselves and take up our cross in following him. There's the second reason. It's in this text. We're to lose our lives because our soul is at stake. Look at verse 25. Jesus says, for whoever would save his life must lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then verse 26. For what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. One of the things you got to understand is earth will not last. Earth is not eternal. So let me ask you a question. What if you knew that a certain business would be bankrupt in a few years? Would you invest in that company? What if you knew that there's this car, you're thinking of buying a car, and what if you knew that 6 months from now, the engine in that car would just blow? Would you buy that car? See, you would be a fool to put all your money into something that is just going to lose everything you have, right? But that's what Earth is. As Christians, we have to understand, Earth is that bankrupt business. It looks pretty now, it's doing good now, but in the future, it's bankrupt. It's going bankrupt. That's the future of Earth. Earth is that car that's going to blow its engine and be worthless one day. Earth doesn't last. And so if that's what you live for, if we are people who live for ourselves, who live for earthly comfort, who live for our career, who live for a religion where you have to work and earn, if you live for Earth, you lose everything. Everything. You may gain everything now. You could gain the whole world. But the whole world is bankrupt in the end. You gain the wrong thing. And so in the end, you lose everything. I don't know how to say this strongly enough. You lose everything, guys. Live for here, live for now. Everything. You're going to lose it. That is a promise. You live for yourself, hold on to what you want, and you lose your soul. But lose your life for Christ, and you gain your soul. Living for Earth is a dead end. There is no peace in living for Earth. Do you see it? If you were to pursue the whole world and actually get it, you got the thing you wanted, the world, you will never be happy. I mean, you see this all over the world. You see this everywhere. In your cultures, you see it. You see it here in America the same. Rich people are never happy because of their riches, are they? If they were happy, they would be content with what they had. But they're not content with what they have. Powerful leaders are never happy because of their power. If they were, they would be content with the power they had. And they wouldn't be seeking more power so that they could be happy. Famous people are not happy because of their fame. Educated people are not happy because of the education they have. Education doesn't make you happy. Fame doesn't make you happy. Riches don't make you happy. Power doesn't make you happy. What good does it do to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? The whole world will never satisfy your soul. You weren't made for the world. You were made for God. But very often we live for the world because we're fallen. We're broken. We live for us. We weren't made for us, but we live for us. We were made for God, but we live for us because we're broken. And God says, hey, you got it backwards. Turn it around. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Lose your life for me. And you'll gain it. Religious people, same. Religious people are never happy by doing the works of their religion. God didn't make you just so you could show God how good you are. That's not the point of earth. You have to die to how good you are. One of the things of Christianity is that Christians actually are just about the only people I know who confess how bad they are. They're the people who say, you know, I'm deep in my heart, apart from Christ, on my own, I'm just broken and sinful. This is part of Christianity. It's not about, Christians shouldn't be talking about how good they are, but how good Christ is. You have to die to how good you are. You have to confess you're a sinner in God's sight. You're worthy of hell on your own. Change your heart. Don't just give God rituals and prayers and fastings and whatever it happens to be. Give him your heart and die to yourself, and you will gain your soul. So this is the second reason Jesus gives. We take up our cross and we lose our life. We die because it's actually the best thing for our souls. It's part of a healthy soul. So the first reason was we do this, deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Jesus, because Jesus did the same thing for us. The second reason is we deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow him, lose our life, because that's how you gain your soul. That's really good. There's a third reason in the text why we're to do this. The third reason is verse 27, Jesus is coming again. And when he does, he's going to judge us according to what we've done. Look at verse 27 and look at the first word in verse 27. And you should see the word for. For is explaining the reason. It's explaining the cause, if you want to think of it that way. He just got done saying, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him, lose your life for his sake. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? For, he's connecting the coming of Jesus with what he's just been talking about. The Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father. And he will repay each one according to what he has done. It's like this. I want you to think of when the president of your country comes into the room. What happens in that room? Everybody gets busy, right? Everybody wants to make sure they're doing whatever it is they're supposed to be doing because the president just stepped in. The president just came. We need to be doing the president's work because he came. Or whatever they call them in your country. The chairman. You know, the premier. Why do they do this? Why do people do this? When the top leader comes into the room, when he comes. They do it because he's the president and they know it. I saw this, I was in the military, I saw this happen all the time with generals. In the military, generals are almost like gods. And when the general is gone, people just do their own thing. But when the general comes to your unit for a visit, all of a sudden, the unit is busy. They're cleaning everything up for the general. They're getting all the records straight. They're doing his business. They're making sure they're doing what he wants them to be doing. This is how it is with Jesus. He's your king. And your king will come unannounced. And when he comes, you want to be doing his stuff. When he comes, if your life is about your own comfort and your own security and blah, 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 and not his stuff, it's not going to be good. If you give your culture greater importance than you give Jesus, you will regret it. If you live for you when Jesus commands you to live for him, you won't like the results, because he is going to come. Therefore, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Lose your life for his sake. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the Father's glory, and he will repay you according to what you have done. That's the third reason why we are to live this way. Guys, this is the Christian faith. In Christ, you and I die to ourselves. And I told you it's hard many times. And there's grace when you fall. There really is. But that's what Jesus calls you to. That's the path.